Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, and I'm your host, Kelly Ellison. I am so thrilled to be with you today. Today is the first show of our second year. It went by so quickly. 1 year ago today, we launched this show, a new concept all about adoption, inspiring and educating you. Now, since our first show 1 year ago, we have had over 225,000 listeners to this show, and we are so thrilled with those results and continue to just get more and more listeners, more and more folks who are excited and inspired all about adoption. So it's very exciting to see this kind of growth and response to the show, and we want to thank everyone for listening and ask you to share this with your friends and your family. You remember that I've said before on the show that one in three people have some connection to adoption. You can be anywhere and talk about adoption. I have this happen to me all the time when I'm shopping, when I'm out and about with the public, that folks talk to me about adoption, and it never fails that someone has some connection to adoption, be it themselves, a family member, a friend, someone in their life, or someone that they know. So I hope that you enjoyed last week when we had my friend and colleague Amanda Grant on the show to talk to us about advertising adoption 101. Now, this is a very important part of the domestic adoption process, and Amanda is so good. She gave some very specific instructions for those of you who might be in that space of thinking about how you're going to connect with a birth mother. Now, there are several routes and lots to consider, and as in anything, the adoption process, it's complicated. But you know, Amanda, in her wonderful organized style, makes it easy for anyone to follow a step-by-step guide to understand what to do to begin the process of advertising your adoption. Now, if you missed the show, you can go back to our website at www.voiceamerica.com. I'm on the Variety Channel, and you can download that podcast or really any of the other prior shows that we've had. So get online, check it out. It was a wonderful show. If you're interested in finding out more about Amanda and her work, you can go to her website at www.usadopt.com. That's www.usadopt.com for more information about Amanda's great work. So I've mentioned a couple of times on the show that I'm going to be at the National Council for Adoption, their annual conference in Orlando, Florida, just this next week coming up, June 13th through the 16th. And the first 2 days of that conference are for adoption professionals and adoption service providers. On June 15th and 16th, we're going to have a special parent day workshops, and I will be doing a half day workshop on financing your adoption. which many of you know if you continue to listen to the show that that's really sort of my specialty. For more information about the conference or to register if you are an adoption agency or if you're a prospective parent, you can go to their website at www.adoptioncouncil.org and learn more about how you can sign up still. You can still get to the conference. Of course, I would love to meet you and visit with you and learn more about your adoption and help you with your finances. So to that, I was so excited this week. I'm just really delighted to have the keynote speaker for the Adoption Council Conference, Lucas Daniel Boyce. Lucas, this is just an amazing story. This show is going to be so rich, and I'm so grateful for Lucas making his schedule available. Lucas Boyce is the Director of Community Relations, Multicultural Insights, Cause Marketing, and Government Affairs for the Orlando Magic. He joined the organization in July of 2008. Now, prior to joining Magic, Boyce served at the White House in the Office of Political Affairs, where he was monitoring political activity and tracked key races across the Plains Southwest region of the United States. He is also the author of a book entitled Living Proof, From Foster Care to White House and the NBA, which was published in 2011. He travels throughout Central Florida and across the country giving speeches centered around leadership, teamwork, overcoming obstacles, and making a positive impact on the lives of others. Lucas was recently appointed by Florida Governor Rick Scott to the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention State Advisory Group, serving as chairman of that group, and was appointed to the National Council for Adoption Institute. I was thrilled to read your bio, Lucas. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
That is one long bio, I have to tell you.
No, I apologize.
No, don't ever apologize for all of your wonderful, wonderful accomplishments. And I'm going to tell everybody right now that you are the ripe old age of 29. Is that right?
Well, just a few years older than that, 34. I just turned 34.
So you're 34. Okay, good.
I was 29 when I came to the Orlando Magic, yeah.
I see. So you're 29 when you joined that organization. And then most folks know that listen to my show. They know that I live in Kansas City. So I was really thrilled when I read your bio and I learned that you were from Independence, Missouri.
Yeah,
there's nothing better than having folks.
Right? Yeah.
Say again, please.
The hometown of Harry Truman.
The hometown of Harry Truman. Yes, we just had Bill Clinton here in Kansas City, who was being honored by the Good Neighbor Award, Harry Truman's Good Neighbor Award from Independence. Yeah, so that was very cool. I was privileged enough to go and see him speak. So the wonderful part about your story is that you were raised in a foster home. And I understand your mom, her name is Dorothy, right? You were raised in her foster home. Is she still in Independence today?
Yes, she lives actually about a mile from Harry Truman's home. So she is a librarian at the Mid-Continent Independence Library. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, it's certainly the listeners don't have the same context that I do, but as we shared before we got on air, that I used to work at Independence at a prominent organization there. So I can really put all of these places in my mind.
Yeah.
So you were raised in a foster home, and it sounds like at one time there were 40 children in your home. Is that right?
Well, you know, Mom was just one of those she doesn't say this, but everyone that knows of what she's done for children, she's a saint, you know, and she's really the superhero of my life. Over the course of 15 years, she had over 40 foster care children. So at any given time, she probably, I think the most she had at one time is maybe 13. And she moved to Independence in the early 70s, and she built from a small farmhouse, got some grants from the government and built a larger house. So she went from like 2 bedrooms to, I think, 8 bedrooms, 5.5 bathrooms, and 3 kitchens when all was said and done to help kind of support her mission in life, which was to provide a home for children no matter what color we were, no matter whether we had disabilities or not, whether we had struggles or mental health issues or what our home lives were or our backgrounds were. she just wanted to provide a loving home for children. And her name is Dorothy. She's shy, so she would probably never do a show like this. But it's up to me, her son, to sing her praises, because she really is. I would not be who I am or where I am today were it not for Dorothy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, tell me about Dorothy. Now, you're also a father in the home, right? So she didn't do this.
Yeah, mom. So she adopted six of us. Right? And okay. I'm one of her adopted children, and she had four of her own, and then remarried my stepfather, or married to my stepfather when I was in maybe third, fourth grade, I think, and he had three girls. So we're a big family of 13 right now. But at one point, she was a single mom with 11 kids. He kind of came at the right time in our life, and his name is Larry, and has really been a strong foundation for a lot of the children that we all grew up around and with him. Was kind of that father figure we didn't have. So
very important
yeah,
aspect.
Absolutely.
So she started this adventure on her own, but she ended up marrying, as you said, Larry. Now, tell me a little bit about your mom. Where is she from? Is she from Missouri originally?
She's originally actually from California. So out there in Orange County in California, and then moved to Independence in 1972 or 74. I can't recall. I think it was 1970-something. So, but has been there ever since. And I loves Missouri, loves Independence, and a lot of the children have moved off and started their own families. And I have one sister that's in France, and one sister's in Utah, brother's in Pennsylvania, another brother in Virginia Beach. I'm in Orlando, you know. So another daughter, just my sister Tara, just moved up to New Hampshire. So we're kind of spread all over the place, but.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you guys are more of a village than you are a family. You kind of make up your own zip code, right?
Yeah, definitely had bunk beds growing up. So,
does she still lives in Dorothy still lives in Independence. Does she still have foster care? Does she still bring children into her home?
She is since retired, but she still brings children. So she ended up, raising my nieces. We just turned, and they're in their mid-20s now, and so they just kind of left the house maybe 4 years ago. And then my sister had another baby, and so she's helping raise the baby. And mom,
my goodness,
don't tell her I said this. The mom's about 68. She tells me every year on her birthday she's 23, though. So, but she just keeps going, and she, I feel like the Lord brings into her life different opportunities for her to make an impact, and she just kind of goes with it. I would have, if I were her, I probably would have tried to pack it up a long time ago and say, enough is enough, but she just keeps going.
Well, that's why she feels
actually,
like she's 23.
She's a librarian. Yeah, she's a librarian, but she's like, man, I just miss it when your children aren't here, and she's still, I think if she could, if she had the wherewithal, she'd still be doing foster care.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're going to take a break, Lucas. And again, I have Lucas Daniel Boyce with me, who is the keynote speaker for the Adoption Council Conference that's going to be held in Orlando, Florida, June 13th through the 16th. If you want to get more information about Lucas and learn more about him, learn more about the book and some of the speeches that he does around teamwork and leadership, you can find out more information from him on his website at www.lucasdanielboyce.com, and I'll spell that out for you when we get back from the break. You are listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300 or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and I'm today talking to Lucas Daniel Boyce, who is, as I've said, the keynote speaker for the Adoption Council, their national conference that's happening in Orlando this next week in Orlando, Florida, June 13th through the 16th. So we were just talking about Lucas and his big old family from Indiana. Missouri, 13 siblings, but just telling your story about your mom, Dorothy, and your dad, Larry, and just this wonderful home. So you ended up in foster care, Lucas. Tell us a little bit about your particular circumstances.
Sure. Yeah, so everyone has a story, and mine is unique, just like yours is. But on one side of the story, you have my birth mother, and her name was, we'll call her Carol for the purpose of this interview, but, you know, she had everything going for 14, 15, 16 years of age, and she started kind of getting into the wrong crowd, get into the wrong types of things, get involved in drugs and alcohol, got addicted to drugs, and in order to kind of support that habit, sold her body. And so whatever that happened and the different results of that, I kind of came to be. And they found out she was pregnant actually about three months in. She didn't know she was kind of going on with life and doing all the drugs and stuff. So really the first blessing in my life was that they found out, were able to kind of help her calm down. But as a result of kind of what she did, I was born premature, weighing about 4 pounds, a little bit over 4 pounds, and about 6 weeks early. So I was a little preemie, and in 1979, there wasn't the technology and the wonderful advancements in modern medicine that we have today that make it a little bit easier for preemies to make it. So I kind of consider just the first few breaths of life there and the first few days in the hospital a real, real strong blessing. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of that, you have my adoptive mother, who's Dorothy, and she's a person who just had this heart for service and a heart for children and gave her home to this, and she believes, and I believe along with her, that God put us together. You know, she shares a story that she was standing in her bathroom one day, and she has this vision, and she sees this dark-skinned baby boy, and this voice speaks to her heart and says, "This will be your baby, and his name's going to be called Lucas Daniel." And the interesting thing about that is my mom, Dorothy, she's white, and, of course, I'm black. So she kind of scratches her head and just kind of believes and gets into foster care and forgets about this experience. And, you know, and then you have me coming on the scene. I was in the hospital for about 10 days as they tried to kind of determine if I was going to be able to make it and live. And so my first birthday, I tell everyone, is May 19th, 1979. But it was May 29th, 1979, when I was taken from the hospital and delivered to a foster care home that just happened to be the same foster care home of Dorothy. And that was really, I call that kind of my second birthday. And they looked far and wide to find people that could, in my own family, that could take care of me, and there were none that could. And so they sent me to this home, and my first name that my birth mother named me, she named me Grandy Lowe Jones. And so it wasn't exactly the best name, the first name I could have. And so my mom asked the caseworker if she had to call me that. He's like, you can call me whatever you want. And so the family kind of took a vote, and I looked like some neighborhood kids that used to come play with my brother, Bo, and their names, they were twins, John, Jonathan, Lucas. And so he's like, well, let's call him Lucas. And then they all voted on a middle name that happened to be Daniel. So they called me Lucas Daniel, and at about 2.5 years of age, you know, my mom's standing in her bathroom, and she has this experience again, and she sees me, and this voice again speaks to her heart, and it's in present tense this time, and it says, this is your child, and his name will be called Lucas Daniel. And so she moved to adopt me after that experience. She remembered it, and she always shared a scripture, not just with me, but with all of her children, whether they were her birth children or whether they were adoptive or foster care children, whether she had them for many, many years or just for a weekend. She shared with us this scripture out of Psalms 139 that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so for us in 2013, what that means is that we're built for something more, right? And she shared with all of us children that each of us were built for something more. And it didn't matter whether where we came from. It didn't matter whether our moms were, you know, crack addicts or sold their bodies for drugs or took alcohol or did all kinds of number of different things, that we in and of ourselves were special just because we were on the earth. And so that's what she's kind of wrapped us all with love, because there's lots of different circumstances that children grow up in. And I was very, very thankful to have a mom that, number one, was a woman of faith, but number two, just loved children, and she wanted them to just be accepted just because of who they were.
And amazing, what an amazing environment that she created for you, Lucas, all around love, a deep spiritual community that she created for you. And you are just such a testament for her, all the love that she wrapped you in during your, you know, really most important elementary years in that household. And I know that you reflect on that quite a bit. And you just have gone, you've done so much in just the short period of time. I know that you said that you were in college, so you went, you graduated high school in Independence, right?
Yep. Graduated high school and then went off to University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg. There, studied political science and speech communication. And the interesting thing is, you know, mom, again, she instilled in us this desire to dream and believe that we can accomplish our goals.
I was just going to say, I love what you said, that you're built for more. And clearly you were. So you were in college in Central Missouri State. And what were you getting ready to say?
Yeah, so mom asked us, all of us, she just tried to instill in us this desire to dream and dream big, right? And when I graduated high school, getting ready to go to college, she says, Lucas, what's next? What do you want to be, and how are you going to get there? And I told my mom, you know, there are a few different things. I wanted to share my testimony of God and his son about what they did for me. That they covered me in my mother's womb there, and they protected me from a lot of stuff. I wanted to share that. I wanted to, and I loved Michael Jordan, right? And he was my hero growing up. And, and Bill Clinton was president in 1998 when I graduated high school, and I loved presidential politics and watched him and saw how he led and watched the different TV shows and saw him walking across the tarmac and all these different things, walking into the White House. And I said, Mom, I want to work at the White House. And I said, you know, I want to fly in Air Force One. And the last thing I told her is I want to work for the Chicago Bulls, is what I told her. So she said, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. He's like, I can't promise you success, but I can promise you if you follow my two keys to success, she said. And one of which was to believe that I could and take incredible action towards that goal. And the second one was to remember who I was and who I represented. And I think that was an important part of it, that if I lived a life with honor and integrity, that good things would always happen. So I tried to take her at her word and went to college, and we had 9/11 that took place. And you know, as everyone was trying to leave D.C., I was like, I just had this stirring. I was like, I want to go serve. I want to serve now. And I put in for this internship and got word back that they actually weren't going to have internships after 9/11 because of security concerns and all these different things. And so I was actually on my way to Congress when I randomly got a call from the White House in late December of 2001 saying that they had reversed this decision. Apparently the White House doesn't function without interns. I don't know. But they had made this decision to go ahead with the internship program. And I went to about 3 different phone interviews as a 22-year-old, and in January of 2002, went to Washington, D.C. to serve. And I remember what that first day was like as an intern. You know, I'm not getting paid anything, but getting college credit for it, and how special that was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what an amazing opportunity for you. And what's so cool is that those of us who know when we set goals for ourselves and we watch those goals unfold, that is true. You can do that. And you're certainly a testament to that, that when you set goals and when you said that to your mom, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I want to do, it's amazing how that just unfolds for you and how you really set your mind to doing that, and you got what you asked for in so many words, right?
Yes,
indeed. Well, we're gonna take another break, Lucas. The time goes by quickly. I love hearing you talk about your family and your story. I want to come back after this break, though, and talk a little bit about how you met George Bush, what that was like. I want to talk to you a little bit about especially your book, which is Living Proof, From Foster Care to the White House and the NBA. Again, I'm with author and speaker Lucas Daniel Boyce with me today on the show. His website is www.lucasdanielboyce.com. And if you'll stay with us, we will be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Back today with Lucas Daniel Boyce, who is the author of Living Proof from Foster Care to the White House and the MBA. Lucas is here with us. He is going to be the keynote speaker for the National Council for Adoption, their annual conference in Orlando next week in June 13th through the 16th. And before we go into our segment, I do want to just do a call out to our sponsors, because obviously this show would not be airing if we did not have sponsors who supported our efforts. So we just want to say thank you to Beacon House Adoption, America's Christian Credit Union, and Adoption Constellation Magazine. Welcome to the show. They are our new sponsor for the show, and we're so excited to have them with us. So we want to do a call out for them. And Lucas, we're going to come back because you were just talking about you had this opportunity. You went to Washington, D.C., and you had this opportunity to do this internship. So you met President Bush, correct?
Yes, I did. It was March 25th, 2002, and I was randomly picked to be a part of this photo op. I say random, but there's like 100 interns, and they asked for my intern director, who he recommended, and I was thankful I'd worked really hard and had made an impression on him, and he picked me to be part of this photo opportunity. I had no clue it was with the president, and from that experience, I got to meet him on the South Lawn taking these photos. And the unique thing about that is the next day, he asked my boss about me during a meeting and said, "Hey, I met this guy on the South Lawn." And he said, "What's his name again?" And he said, "Lucas." And he's going to kind of tell him a little bit about my story and what I've shared with you and your listeners. Mm-hmm. And the president said, "Well, what can we do for him? Let's bring him on board." And that was kind of how I got my start. It was a wonderful, really cool moment, and I like to say that when hard work, opportunity, and determination meet with grace, anything can happen, and that's really what that was. It wasn't anybody important, you know, could give him no money for his next campaign, and he took an interest, and so I thought it was really, really important to finish school. So I went back and took extra hours that summer, another 18 hours the next fall, another 21 hours the next spring.
Oh, my.
6 hours the next summer so I could finish a little bit early. And I graduated college July 11th, 2003, and I moved 2 days later to Washington, D.C., and then started on his reelection campaign on July 15th, 2003.
That's amazing.
For the next 18 months, served on the campaign and went to that high roller coaster experience. And I was thinking it was a pretty crazy first job out of college, but it worked out, and kind of the rest. I, from there, was able to go back to the White House and serve in a number of different roles.
That is amazing. I have to say, that is a huge job to start right after college. I just can't even imagine how you felt going into that environment. You know, can you describe it at all? I mean, I'm sure you were. I would be terrified to have that experience.
Well, I mean, the first job out of college is always one that you really look forward to. And thankfully, I was not the only one on the campaign, so I would have not known what to do. And I don't think that a political science degree really prepares you for a presidential campaign. But everyone
no.
is going to be close, and it will come down to either Florida or Ohio, just like this most recent one did, right? So it was just one of those really hair-raising experiences. We have a lot of highs and lows. You know, you have so much energy, and you want to try and do something that's bigger and greater than yourself, and you think that everything is great. I mean, being in the well of Madison Square Garden and seeing him accept the nomination for the second time was a pretty heady experience. And then you have a few weeks later, you have the first debate, which went a lot like President Obama's first debate, where there's all the same reading and all the polls reversed and all this sort of stuff. You never know what's going to happen. You go, I can remember being in the war room on election night, you know, running around with all these computers, all these TV screens that are tied to every channel, and the phones tied to all these different target states, calling different people, trying to get the vote count to kind of see how things are going, and to watch the returns come in was pretty cool.
Very cool.
And it's one of those experiences that you always, that no one can ever take away from you. And hopefully I have the right perspective on what it was. It was just a wonderful moment for me in history that allowed me to be a part of something that was really special.
Right. And, you know, so many people, I've never met anyone that's had that particular experience, Lucas. And what an opportunity for you to have that experience and take that with you. So how do you use that today? Today you are, and this is also a pretty amazing position that you have today, right? I mean, you are, I have to go back to my notes and look, but you're the Director of Community Relations, Multicultural Insights. Wow.
these positions build upon themselves. So at the White House, I did African American outreach. So all the relationships with your NAACPs of the world, your Urban League, your civil rights leaders, your pastors, your churches, and the African American community. Then I did professional sports outreach. So all the relationships with the different sports teams, NCAA and professional sports. Anytime like an NBA team or NFL team that won the Super Bowl would come to the White House, I was in charge of their visit. And then I had a job that had me in charge of a region of the country from Missouri to California. So anytime the president, the first lady, or the vice president went to one of those states, I was tasked with being in charge of that trip, which meant, you know, a lot of sleepless nights, but also meant I got to fly with him on Air Force One. And so all of those things built together to really, my current job is reaching out to different target markets of ethnicities and the wonderful, we have a wonderful diverse community here in Central Florida of Hispanics, African Americans, young professionals, women, persons with disabilities, you know, you name it. So my relationships with what I did at the White House parallels perfectly with my relationships now with the African American Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, right? And then I do government affairs for the Orlando Magic, and that was what I did for the White House. So it's kind of like all the things I did at the White House in different jobs is kind of combined into one job now. And it's really just one of those unique things, and it's cool how the skill sets have kind of built upon themselves.
Yes. And so what do you tell young people today about the experiences that they're getting ready to have? And is there anything that you say to them today about what the perception is of those experiences and what their view should be as they go in that? Clearly, you saw at a very young age how experiences build upon each other. And I think that's just amazing, I have to tell you. And I'm looking at my notes where it says, believe that you can do it and take action. You know, those wonderful words that your mother told you. What do you tell the students today that when you're talking to them about what's forward for them?
Sure. First off, I tell them exactly what I shared, what my mom shared with us growing up. I shared the success, and I share with them that they're built for something more. That it doesn't matter who they are right now or what they're going through or what their background is, that they can succeed, and that if they could take steps right now, they can change the direction of their lives no matter what they want. And then my favorite quote comes from Robert F. Kennedy, and I share this with them, and I'll share it with the wonderful folks that will all be at the conference next week, that there are some people that will see things as they are and they will ask why. There are others that will dream things that can be, and they will ask why not. So in other words, there are some people that will see their present circumstances or see maybe they don't have the right home life, or maybe that they came from foster care, or maybe their mom's, their birth mother was, you know, was a prostitute, or maybe they don't have a lot of money. or maybe they come from a broken home. There are some people that will have those experiences and have those circumstances, and they'll use all of those things to make excuses and shrink from the opportunity of the moment. But then there are those, hopefully those that have loving parents and loving people, loving mentors that are sowing seeds of empowerment into their lives, that will see all those obstacles that I just mentioned, but they will not shrink from the opportunity of the moment. They will stand up and say, why not? And I was thankful to have a mom that just always taught me, no matter what, just ask why not. Just lean forward, go forward. That starts with belief. That starts with a belief in yourself and in your abilities. Mm-hmm. And also it is rounded out and added to by those who sow seeds of empowerment into our lives.
Mm-hmm. And the choice in that moment to know that you can choose in that moment whether you believe in that or you don't believe in that for yourself and for your future, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, your current position with Orlando Magic, and I have to tell you that I think there are a lot of people that are so excited about the fact that you have this amazing job with this amazing NBA team. And I want to hear more about how you got that job. And you were actually listed as you were the Man of the Year, under 40 Man of the Year. Is that right?
Yeah,
this is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, I want to dip a little bit more into a little bit more of a serious topic, and that is I want to get your opinion, Lucas, about our current state of affairs around the foster care system in this country, because it is a problem, and I've featured many people on my show talking about the issue of foster care in our country, and I'd love to get your thoughts about that and kind of what you think in terms of what needs to be done for especially these young adults that age out of the system and how we can maybe prevent that. So again, I am with Lucas Daniel Boyce, who is the author of Living Proof, From Foster Care to the White House and the NBA. For more information about Lucas's work, to get a copy of his book, you can go to his website at www.lucasdanielboyce.com. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's
888-987-6300. News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach.
with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison. I'm here today with Lucas Daniel Boyce, who is the author of Living Proof: From Foster Care to the White House and the NBA. Lucas is sharing with us his amazing story of just how he arrived at the ripe old age of 34 and has accomplished so much. And I want to just bring this quote back because I love this. I'm going to have to write it up somewhere where I can see it every day. And the quote is, "You are built for something more." I love that, Lucas. Thanks so much for bringing that to me, because that's just so important. Really, what a great quote.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a really great words to live by. So I want to get a little bit more in depth in terms of, I would love to get your opinion, as I said before the break. What do you, give us your thoughts about the current state of affairs for the foster care system in this country? Because it's not a pretty picture.
It's not. And I think, thankfully, a lot more people are trying to understand that. I work a lot with the Department of Children and Families here in Florida, and also with the Department of Juvenile Justice, that sometimes they kind of work hand in hand in trying to, number one, take care of situation in homes and try and make things better. And I think sometimes the focus before has not been on trying to find a home for children, but to displace them. It's like to seize their numbers. Mm-hmm. And so when they become numbers, I was actually on a call today with the National Coalition on Adoption Institute, and that's another board that I sit on, and one of the interns that are an intern for Senator Mary Landry was sharing his story about how, sometimes it's like these foster cares are just a business, so they're using it to get money, and he's like, he felt like that was his experience in a lot of instances where they were just like, they didn't care about him. They just would be just an opportunity to get money. And he's like, and they would show him the door and things like that. And so we hopefully, you can't legislate a heart. But I'm hoping that we can get to a place where we're not trying to displace kids, but we're trying to find homes for them and find families. This is about not just trying to run people through a system because something bad happened in the home or they aren't able to be with their biological or paternal parents or whatever. Has to be about something more than that. And sometimes our bureaucracies kind of create these things. I'm thankful that in Florida we're really trying to get away from group homes per se and really try and find not placements but homes for our children.
Right.
And that's something that, I'm keen on and will continue to support.
Right.
And this is another thing, with respect to foster care, our governor, Governor Scott, just signed a bill in the state legislature here in Florida that allows for kids to be normal. We call it the normalcy bill. So a lot of these situations with foster care, children aren't allowed to go on the normal activities with the family, such as a barbecue or a boating excursion or things like that, because of liabilities in the courts and all these types of things. And we're trying to, these are children. They're individuals, they're human beings, and we're trying to really humanize our system. And while it's still imperfect, we have a long way to go. We're really, really, really encouraged by the movement that's happened here in our state to be able to provide more normalcy for our foster care children, which hopefully then spills into, that focus spills into, okay, what type of foster care parents should we have? I was very, very blessed. I didn't go through a lot of different foster care homes and wasn't shepherded through one after the other. I was very, very thankful and very, very blessed. I know that my experience is not the norm to have gone to just one and to be adopted out of that one. And so I know that my experience is unique. But I'm also cognizant because I hear stories and I serve on different boards and committees where I am familiar with, you know, some of the experiences that are horrendous and very, very sad. You know, I have a dear friend who, thankfully, is now, he's got his pharmacy degree and he's doing wonderful things in the healthcare industry. But he actually was at the foster care group home that I'm on the board of, the Department of the Children and Family Services. We call it Great Oaks Village here in Orange County, Florida. He was a foster care child who actually ended up aging out of the system and has been on his own since he was 18 years old. But thankfully, wow, you know, has been able to be very, very successful. And we're friends to this day. And I hear these stories over and over again, and they break my heart each and every time that I hear them, and really strengthen my resolve to continue to try and make a difference and advocate for whatever I can as we try and move forward, not just in this state, but across the nation as I serve on that other board for the National Coalition on Adoption.
The National Coalition for Adoption, yes. And yes. Let me say this to you, Lucas. I really feel strongly about this in terms that in the various different interviews that I've done, from the Dave Thomas Foundation to the National Coalition, I've interviewed a lot of people. Gia Tutela-Mote, who has a program in Florida, I believe, called Forever Family. She was on my show. There are a lot of people that are very passionate about foster care. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked by the number of young adults that are aging out of the system that don't have the resources. I'm shocked by that. It's crazy for me to think that there are so many people that are afraid of foster care because there's so many myths around this that, you know, they think kids are in foster care because they're in trouble or they have behavioral issues, those kinds of things. I can think of no one better to lead this charge and to create change in a state where we have a model than you. Someone who's come up from the experience. And I was shocked. I can't specifically remember which interview this came out of, but the question that I kept asking the folks that would come on the show and talk about foster care is, there's no national clearinghouse. There is no national clearinghouse for foster care. And that to me just seems so obvious.
State by state, not even state by state, but probably county by county.
County by county. It is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm so, we are out of time. I'm so sorry about that. And again, I want to thank you for sharing your unique perspectives and your wonderful quotes and philosophy about life with us and with our listeners. And it's just so nice to have you on the show with us today. And I hope folks will go to your website. It's www.lucasdanielboyce.com and learn more about Lucas's work, learn more about his philosophy, and pick up the book. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I'm definitely going to. Living Proof: From Foster Care to the White House and the NBA. What an amazing story. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, Larry, for just inspiring you and letting us all know that we are built for something more. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And before we go, we do have to say, do our financial tip from our sponsor, America's Christian Credit Union. And they are suggesting, and I'm sure Lucas appreciates this, a college savings account as soon as possible to give your child a head start for life. America's Christian Credit Union offers youth accounts as well as educational savings accounts. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources to Christians, including adoption loans. They will also be at the National Council for Adoption in Orlando, Florida on June 13th through the 16th, as will I. We hope you'll come and visit us. You can find out more about America's Christian Credit Union at their website, www.americaschristiancu.com. And thanks again to our sponsors, Beacon House Adoption, America's Christian Credit Union, Adoption Constellation Magazine. Thanks so much for making this show possible. Lucas, thank you for your time. What a privilege it is to meet you today, and I know can't wait to get a chance to shake your hand in Florida next week.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a great week, and we'll see everyone next week. Same time, same place.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.